We've been thinking about life as pilgrimage. Every single day, not just the major events of life, but every day, all the things that we go through, part of our journey with God, a journey which is dynamic, deliberate, purposeful, walking with God. And last time we were thinking about this 2 weeks ago, we were thinking about our initial calling and the dynamic response that came out of that. And we went for inspiration to the disciples, fishing, cleaning their nets by the edge of the Sea of Galilee when Jesus came up and called them, and their response to drop everything and follow Jesus. And then we looked at examples of people who did some similar things. As we looked at that, I shared with you that radical nature of trust that is required to follow God. And I shared or referred to a quote from this book. Let me put it on the screen and remind you. From Brennan Manning, The Ruthless Trust, ruthless trust. It's the reality, and I'm sorry, let me read to you the quote. The reality of naked trust is the life of the pilgrim who leaves what is nailed down, obvious and secure, and walks into the unknown without any rational explanation to justify the decision or guarantee the future. Why? Because God has signaled the movement and offered it his presence and his purpose. God has signaled and he's offered to be present in it. Do you remember that? Remember the quotes? Remember what we thought about? If you don't, or if you weren't here on that Sunday, I urge you, go to the website and just listen to it. One day when you're having a coffee, one of those moments when you've got nothing else significant to do, instead of reading a newspaper, listen to what we spoke about and what scripture tells us. And the reason I want to encourage you to do that is because I believe we are living in remarkably challenging times. And you are all going through difficult circumstances. And I believe God is speaking to his church and reminding us that we are on a pilgrimage. We are on a journey with him. I want to encourage you to listen because I think God wants to speak to us in our circumstances. For every one of you, your current phase of journeying with God this season is completely different from where you were 10 years ago. And none of you can say where things will be in 5 years, 3 years, even 2 years from now. Think how much has changed in the last 3 years for each of us. But I believe God wants us to face this technically dominated world with all of its imminent challenges, with a confidence that we're walking with him. So we've just spoken, I've just reminded you of this radical trust in following God. But it's easy to say the word trust. The question I want to throw at you today is, do you trust God when the way ahead seems to be uncertain, incredibly unclear? Do you trust God? That's why I want to come back to the series where we started much earlier in the series, and a chapter, some of the verse of which we've already read in chapter 13. It's where the children of Israel were called by God to come out of Egypt. They'd left Egypt and slavery, but instead of sending them on the most direct route to the promised land where they knew ultimately they were going to end up, which would have taken them through the land of the Philistines, God instead took them on an indirect route. God knew his people and he knew they would not cope if they faced the Philistines. They might have been very well used to dealing with slavery. Yeah, they could endure hardship, but God knew that when they faced an enemy, they were not used to this physical battle. How were they going to cope in these new circumstances? And he knew there was every likelihood they would turn tail and run. And so he took them on this indirect route. And if you remember back the couple of months or so when we looked at that passage, one of the lessons was that God often takes us on these unexpected journeys, but in the twists and turns of the way, that's when he speaks to us. He molds us. He teaches us. And that's kind of where we left it. If I was to say to you, in some of the uncertain things that you are facing, and what you're likely to face in the near future, don't worry. God's going to teach you things through all the twists and turns of the way. You're likely to turn around to me and say, well, thank you very much. Great. Isn't that wonderful? We can go through what seems like a horrifically uncertain period. And yes, we know God's going to teach us something, but it doesn't exactly help me deal with it. It doesn't help my anxiety. It doesn't help me to cope or find God to be able to deal with those things in the first place. And you'd be right. So I want to address that today. Let's see what happens when on this pilgrim journey, the future seems to be unclear. Where do we find God in all of it? Because that seems to be a theme dominating so many of your lives and the circumstances of society at the moment. We're just 1 week past those events when the king was coronated in London. And yet there are many people and many countries, Commonwealth countries, talking about the significance of the monarchy. And what is the future of the monarchy, particularly amongst young people? In about 18 months or so from now, both the United States and the UK will go to elections to vote for people to lead them. Who's going to be in the White House, the President of the United States, 2 years from now? Who's going to be the Prime Minister 2 years from now? You don't know. I don't know. But whoever it is will have a radically different response to certain things. They'll have a different response towards perhaps gun control in America, towards environmental issues that have had so much impact on us, towards Ukraine, towards Russia, towards China. And those things and the conflicts that already exist will impact you enormously. Lorinda and I just yesterday were looking at how much the war in Ukraine has actually cost us, the thousands of pounds we've paid in additional fees for our mortgage. They have impacted our health service, cost of living. You will be impacted, and we don't know. The future remains uncertain because we don't know who's going to be in place. Many of you have health issues. We've spoken about two people having hospital treatment specifically this week. But all of you are having to frequent your GP surgeries and hospitals more frequently. Do you know we have about half the number of GPs in the country that we really require in many places? A third of our nursing staff are from overseas because we desperately need people. We don't have enough. And there are more and more demands. There is so much uncertainty and people are desperately trying to find solutions to these issues. Coming back home to our church life has changed radically for us. Where is God going to take us? What would the future hold? It's another area of uncertainty. And then for each of you personally, you all have areas in life for which you may be quite anxious because the future is very uncertain. And I want you to think about that today, and I want us to do something about that today. So ask yourself the question, what are the things in life that remain so uncertain in which you would love to have that sense of God leading? What are the things that cause you, the big things that cause you most anxiety? Hold on to that, because we're going to come back and do something about it shortly. But first, let me share something that Lorinda and I tend to do as far as a journey is concerned that brings us a little bit more relaxation. Every now and again, we like to step off the treadmill of life and entertain a journey just for a time that is a little bit more relaxing. So we go kayaking. This is going to illustrate the point. One of our favorite routes is to go to Brantham, and we put the kayak on the roof of the car and we drive out, put the kayak in the water at Chataway, and then paddle our way gently, serenely out towards Constable country, moving towards Dedham down the River Stour, and it's wonderful. This is what it looks like, just to give you a picture. There's Lorinda in front of the kayak, and we just calmly work our way down this river that we know so well. The views are fantastic. We know the river. It's very wide in places and quite narrow and winding in others, but it's really comfortable for us. And as we go down this, we feel quite relaxed and comfortable. And because Lorinda's at the front, of course, she doesn't realize I just stop paddling. I relax, look around, take some photos, have a sip of tea, read a book while she's doing the work. Whilst together we're working our way towards Flatford Mill and get to the other end, and we're relaxed and we're chilled. Maybe we'll even have a coffee at the other end and come back, and we feel so much better for having a little bit of calming environment around us. For us, it's wonderful. And I get the feeling that maybe for most of us, that's how we wish our journey of life would be. Relaxing, everything under control, you sit back and it's great. But it's not the reality, is it? And not every one of our kayak trips has been quite so comfortable. About 23 years ago in Zambia, Lorinda and I took a trip in the north of the country in very unfamiliar territory. I'm not sure if Lorinda remembers the journey. I think it was in Kasanka National Park. It was a very isolated part of Zambia. We didn't know the river. We didn't have a compass. There were lots of very unfamiliar plants and trees around us with razor sharp edges along the leaves that would slash you if you got too close to them. There were mosquitoes, malaria, tsetse flies. There were snakes, another assorted lovely things, and there were huge crocodiles. One thing you don't want to do if you are in a kayak is shove the bow of the kayak into a crocodile nest or put your oar into it, literally, because it's entirely likely that your journey is going to end with twists and turns that you really don't want to think about. And I remember the sense of anxiety, the nerves of being very much out of our comfort zone. Do you know what made it possible for us to go through that? And what gave us real confidence and assurance? We had someone with us who pointed the way, who did know the river, who knew the terrain, knew where the crocs were, and was able to guide us. That's what it is like for God's people on the journey of life. We have one who goes ahead of us. Every journey we make, every twist and turn along the route, God goes ahead of us. Yes, God sometimes takes us in unexpected areas. And sometimes it means going through the wilderness or through the very rough rapids of a fast-flowing river. But although the path is unfamiliar, we are not alone. And that's what our passage opens up to us. The Lord always goes ahead of us. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. And I want to give you three brief observations from this passage and from the journey that took place at this time. Three things to notice. First, it was God who did the leading. God signaled the move. It was their job to follow. That is always the way for us. It is God who leads us. He signals when it is time to go and the direction that we are to go in. In whatever the uncertainties are that you face, I want to ask you the question, have you invited God to take the lead? Have you actually asked him? Do you ask him daily? Are you looking to him for the direction? If it's a health issue, maybe it's a family crisis and things are in a mess, are you seeking God's lead? Are you recognizing he wants to take you through that? The world will throw at you that you're supposed to be an independent person and manage these things yourself. Just talk to a friend and work it out and then go. God says something very different. He leads his people. He shows the way through it. Are you asking him? I'm going to do that in a minute. Second thing, day and night, there was an indication of something they could follow. Did you notice that? In other words, in all circumstances, whether you can see what's ahead of you or whether it is pitch black, you can't see anything ahead of you, God gave them something to guide them. The Lord was leading them. The Lord always gives us things, whatever the circumstances are. He gives us things to just lead us along the way. Interesting, the two things that God gave, a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Cloud and fire. Those two things we call theophanies. There are a whole series of examples of theophanies in the Bible. Theo being God, the presence of God in a physical thing, in cloud, in fire. And those two examples we see repeated again and again, even in the book of Exodus. chapter 3, you'll remember when Moses was called, it was through a theophany, through the fire, the burning bush. But it was Moses' job to look, to pay attention and move over to the bush. So it is with us. When God gave them manna to eat, we see a theophany coming in that too, in a cloud. Chapter 16, have a read. Chapter 19, do you remember just before the Ten Commandments were given? The mountain covered in cloud and the fire, do you remember? Read through it. And then in chapter 40, in the tabernacle, the presence of God illustrated by the smoke which was present. A theophany. Sometimes when I look at the way God was leading the children of Israel, I feel quite envious to have something so clear that was a clear guide. You sometimes wish that you had that, so you knew what decision to make, what choice not to make, which way to go, how to deal with people with whom there's an issue, how not to deal with them. Do you sometimes wish there was some really obvious guidance? Don't we already have things like that, though? We have something which is a huge advantage that the people of Israel didn't have. We have God's word. We have a book that we can turn to at any time, which demonstrates God's plan, God's purposes, that demonstrates his faithfulness, his provision for his people, that illustrates how we live our lives, how we relate to other people. If we don't know how to manage relationships, marriages, children, it's because we're not paying attention to what Scripture gives to us. We don't have a burning bush, but maybe God's word is our theophany. It is our burning bush to turn to. Like Moses, are we looking towards it? We also have a church that we can go to. We have people around us who will listen, godly people who will listen and pray into. We have resources that God has given to us. And just going back for a second, I should have said about God's word. It's not just a history book that tells us what God has done. It's his living word. And the Holy Spirit within us, with the God Spirit in his word, guides us day by day. Are we using these tools? Because if not, we're not following the cloud or the fire that God has given to us. And that's like going down a rapids in a kayak with a blindfold on. Good luck with that. So first, God was the one who signaled the move. Make sure it's his direction we're moving in, not doing our own thing. Second, that it was day and night in all circumstances. God gives us. And if you ask him, he will give you things to prompt, to guide you. Thirdly, the Lord's leading, his presence did not leave them. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Don't we have exactly the same? We have Jesus, who is our shepherd, and the shepherd goes ahead of us. He leads us. One of the biggest encouragements I can give you is to recognize that wherever you go, whatever is ahead of you, however uncertain and unclear the way through this particular season that you are facing, you have in Jesus the shepherd who goes ahead of you, the shepherd who leads you by still waters, the shepherd who guides you along the way. None other than the Lord, and he won't lead you into a place that is horrendous. The world around you may be chaotic, but God is the one who will lead you to the still waters, even in that place. That's what we were praying for a few moments ago, for Annalise and for Amy. Of course, we don't want them to have to be in hospital in the first place. But whilst there, God is the one, Jesus is the one who leads them to still waters. It's the Lord. Are we aware of who's leading us? Not everyone will do that. So often we go to people, we go to the newspaper for encouragement. We go to friends and family. Do you know, I've been on journeys where I've had a guide who's not been brilliant. About 30 years ago, I did a kayak trip. It wasn't a kayak trip. It was a bamboo raft down the Salween River between Thailand and Burma. The bamboo raft was simply not good enough for the job that we were going to put it through. There were six of us on it, and it was going way below the level of the water because it just wasn't big enough. I don't know whether we had something like 10 or 12 poles or 15 poles of bamboo, and we should have had 20. And it started to sink. As we went through the really rough parts of the rapids, I was on the back steering, and the back of the raft, just the bamboo raft, just went under the water so much so, eventually I just got pushed off, and I was holding on, going down this road, this river, with the coast of Burma to my right, with my legs bashing on the rocks and the boulders in the middle of the river. Because the guide didn't know what he was doing. I looked at him at the front. He looked like he was 16. He'd just left school and didn't know diddly squid. Just leading a tourist group. It was so dangerous. How different it is with your Lord. Do you know the safe pair of hands that you have? I want to encourage you to recognize God signals the direction. His direction is appropriate for whatever the circumstances you face. And he will be faithful and lead you along that route. But I don't want to end this by just talking theory. Let's put this into practice. So I want to invite you to do something about that thing that we talked about a few minutes ago. The one thing, maybe there are more than one thing, where the future seems so unclear and uncertain. How might God want you to progress to negotiate that? Let's do something about it by offering a prayer to God. I'm going to put something on the screen for you. This is a personal prayer in the face of the kind of uncertainty that is unique to you. So three things that you might want to take before God. First, to ensure that the Lord is the one leading you in whatever direction you're going in. Lord, will you take the lead in my uncertain journey? Whatever that is, I'm going to give you a moment, in just a moment, a chance to pray, to ask God to take his rightful place. Second, theoretically, of course, you know God is with you. But today, ask for perceivable signs of your presence. Lord, remind me that you are with me. Show me something. Give me an encouragement from scripture, from a phone call, from whatever else, that God is present. Third, give me eyes to see you as you go ahead of me on my life's journey. That prayer is going to be different for you because the circumstances are unique. But let's just stop. And I want to invite you in the silence on your side of the screen, a personal prayer between you and God. Invite him. Use these words to invite God to take up his place again. Father God, you've heard the responses of each person this morning. You know our circumstances. You know those things over which each person here is anxious and unclear. Father, we ask, would you meet each one in a new way this morning? Would you reveal your presence, your delight at their invitation to let you lead? Would you show the way forward through the next particular challenge? Perhaps it's just one step forward. Lead them, Lord, we pray. And I pray, Father, that each person will know you so close to them this week through the things that they face. The future may be uncertain. It may even be uncomfortable. But we pray in Jesus' name, meet each one where they are. Amen.
Amen. Amen.